questions and answers. How do we know what Babylon is which in Scripture? Well, some prophecies have dual or even multi-temporal fulfillments. Remember Ecclesiastes 3:15. The Lord, not being constrained by linear physics, can easily accomplish this mind-boggling and impressively complex orchestration. But more specifically, here's how to find our Babylon. Any mention of the day of the Lord, the latter days, the day of thy watchman, the end of days, the last days before the vengeance of our Lord Jesus. That Babylon is America, the daughter of Babylon. An example of this is in the 13th chapter of Isaiah. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and ye shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Going up to the first verse, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. We know that's reference to America, because in verse 6, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Question: how does America geographically qualify for the role of Babylon? According to Scripture, Babylon's destroying enemy is from a far country, from the north, and the end of heaven. Get out a globe, trace from the United States, straight up north and across the pole to the other end of the globe. Your finger is now in Russia. Also, the end of days Babylon must sit upon many waters and have deep water ports around her coastlines for the merchant sailors to stand afar off and bewail her. In addition, go to Yahoo Maps on the internet, type in Babylon, New York. Surprise! There's even a literal Babylon, New York, right on the coastline. Question: isn't Russia our friend now? What about their reforms? No. We've been disarming and sending aid money over to the Russian republics. They've been using it to build and modify their arsenal. How's that for irony? There's a reason that the Russians are the world champion chess players. Chess is a game of patience and strategy. America has become incompetent in her complacency, lacking both patience and the comprehension of strategy. Lady Liberty will be blown out of the water, and she won't even know what hit her. In addition, research the men that are in charge of these new democratic Russian republics. Most were hardcore Soviets that were trained at the School of Lenin. That's like putting some retired grand wizards of the Ku Klux Klan in charge of the United Negro College Fund. Check. I'll let an American official back me up on this one. Here's former Secretary of Defense Frank C. Carlucci.
If the United States and our allies are to maintain the defense required to safeguard our peace and freedoms, we must have a clear understanding of the threat posed by the military capabilities and doctrine of the Soviet Union. As reported in Soviet Military Power 1988, neither glasnost nor the stirrings of economic reform within the Soviet Union has resulted in any redirection of resources away from the armed forces of the USSR. Soviet strategic nuclear forces, land, sea, and air, continue to be upgraded. Soviet strategic defenses, including the ballistic missile defense system around Moscow, continue to be upgraded. The across-the-board modernization of Soviet conventional forces, tanks, artillery, fighter aircraft, surface warships, and submarines, marks an unprecedented increase in Soviet military capabilities.
This one's for the Bible scholars. Question: what about Iraq rebuilding around the ruins of the old Babylon from Nebuchadnezzar's time period? Couldn't Iraq be the nation and Baghdad be the city in Revelation 18 that is destroyed? Only if you ignore 80% of the parameters defined in the Bible that identifies the Lady of the Kingdoms. Is Baghdad the economic centrifuge for the globe, or is it New York, Wall Street? Does Iraq have a deep water port for merchant sailors to bewail it from, or multiple deep water ports along its coastlines? Does Iraq have the largest idol in the world crafted by mystical Masonic secret society members in its harbor? Did Iraq initiate the United Nations world governance? Is Iraq the world's policeman? Is Iraq known for its cattle and goods and fine merchandise and delicacies and pharmaceuticals, aka sorceries? Is Iraq at rest and dwelling carelessly? Does Iraq have people gathered from all the nations in it? Was there a World Trade Center reduced to ash in Baghdad, or was that New York? There are other scholars that think end times Babylon is Israel or the Vatican, Rome or the EU or Russia. Ask yourself the same questions of all of those nations. Question: could the up-and-coming New World Order be Babylon? No. I'll let the prophet Daniel explain why in Daniel 7. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. The Antichrist New World Order governance will be far more dreadful than any of the Babylonian nations throughout history. Again, I'd advise diligently studying Daniel and Revelation to find out what's going to come after America's judgment. If you understand that America is Babylon at this point in the presentation, an important question you may want answered is, what do we do about it? Let's let the Word answer. Zechariah 2:7, deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. Jeremiah 50:8, remove out of the midst of Babylon, and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans, and be as the he-goats before the flocks. Important, do not fight against your aggressors. Jeremiah 51, verses 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon, and against them that dwell in the midst of them, that rise up against me, a destroying wind, and will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her, and shall empty her land, for in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about. Jeremiah 51:29. And the land shall tremble in sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. Verse 45. My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. Verse 50. Ye that have escaped the sword, go away, stand not still. Remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. Revelation 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. And most importantly, seek Jesus for your heart. Zephaniah 2:3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Jesus, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. America has the spirit of Egypt. Isaiah 30. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion.
Liberty's designer, French sculptor Frédéric Auguste Bertholdt, once boasted that his creation would last as long as the pyramids of the Nile. The 20-foot spikes along Liberty's crown, representing the world's seven continents and seven seas, will also be replaced. And finally,
a woman in robes bearing the light of reason had stood for liberty since classical times. And there was still another influence, the Freemasons, a secret international brotherhood linked to the ancient builders of the pyramids and the cathedrals. Freemasons designed the dollar bill. Freemasons planned the Washington Monument, an obelisk, and Masonic symbols were to be present in the Statue of Liberty as well. A torch, the light of human intellect.
Here is testimony from a former Freemason.
And if you want to see the fruits of true Illuminism, look at what is known as the French Revolution. The French Revolution exists as kind of an antimatter version, if you will, of the American Revolution. Whereas a lot of the people that were involved in the American Revolution were Christians, the French Revolution, Illuminism was holding sway. Anti-Christian doctrine, the Reign of Terror, the guillotine, which ate up thousands and thousands of lives, including the crown heads of France. This was what Illuminism was really all about, unfortunately. And sadly enough, it culminated in an event where they desecrated Notre Dame Cathedral, they enthroned a half-naked prostitute on the high altar and crowned her as the goddess of reason and put a torch in her hand. And believe it or not, this is the origin of the Statue of Liberty. It's not a nice, wonderful thing about freedom. That torch is the light of Lucifer. And that statue was built by a Mason, was designed by a French Freemason as a gift to American Freemasons. So I'm sorry if I just popped anybody's bubble there, but the Statue of Liberty is not a nice symbol. It's a symbol of the goddess of witchcraft, essentially, holding aloft the light of Lucifer.
Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. My fellow Americans, we need to stop worshiping the hosts of heaven and start worshiping the Lord of hosts. Here's the testimony of Romanian Dimitri Dudeman with his son translating.
It was very late at night. I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home. And I was just thinking, what did I do? I was crying so my family wouldn't see me. And all of a sudden, I saw a light coming towards me. When I saw the light, I thought it was a car. Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too. But it was not a car. The light surrounded me. And out of the light I heard the same voice. It was the same angel. Dimitri, why are you so despaired? Why did you punish me so harshly? What did I do? Why couldn't you let me stay in prison? But my family would have had a home. I don't have a bed to lay my head down on. Why was I brought here? Dimitri, I brought you to this country because this country will burn. So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dimitri, touch.
He said, Dimitri, be quiet. Get beside me.
Ce aparatul a avut, nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California.
Deci îți arăt.
Do you see what I've shown you?
E Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe
foc. And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
In one day it will burn.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Florida.
And then he showed me Florida.
Aici e Florida.
This is Florida.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And in one day it will burn.
Dar cu mine ce ai să faci?
But what will you do with me? I said.
Ți-am spus să taci.
I told you to be quiet.
Și m-a dus la locul de unde m-a luat.
And he brought me back to the place we left.
Acum stai de vorbă cu mine.
He said, now we can talk.
Te-am adus în țara asta.
I brought you to this country.
Iubesc țara asta.
Because I love this country.
Iubesc poporul din țara
asta. I love the people in this country.
Și prin gura ta vreau să trezesc mult.
And through your mouth, I want to wake up a lot of people.
Cum ai să trezești prin gura mea când eu nu pot să mă înțeleg cu nimeni?
How can you wake up through my mouth when I can't understand anyone?
Tu nu te îngrijora, zici.
You don't worry about that.
Eu îți voi pregăti prin cine să vorbesc.
I'll prepare some more for you to speak through.
Aici ajungi la televizor.
You reach television.
Aici ajungi la radio.
Radio.
Aici ajungi în adunări.
Churches.
Să spui tot ce spun.
But tell them everything I tell you.
America va arde.
Again, he said, America will burn.
Cum a sard America, că America e puternică.
But how can America burn when it's so powerful, I said.
Tu așa să le spui cum
îți spun
eu. He
said, tell them as I tell you.
Să nu ascunzi nimic, dacă ascunzi, aspru.
Hide nothing. If you will try to hide anything, I will punish you harshly.
Spionajul sovietic.
The Russian spies.
Au descoperit cele mai puternice depozite nucleare americane.
Have figured out where the most powerful nuclear plants in America are.
Când americanii crede că e pace, liniște.
When Americans will think it's peace and quiet.
Și stăpânesc tot pământul.
And they rule the world.
Atunci de pe ocean.
Then from the oceans.
Din Cuba.
Out of Cuba.
Nicaragua.
Nicaragua.
America Centrală.
Central America.
Mexico.
Mexico.
Va bombarda depozite nucleare americane.
They will bombard the nuclear plants in America.
America va lua foc.
And America will burn.
Dar ce faci cu biserica?
I said, but what will you do with the church?
Oh, zice, în biserici, unele biserici m-au părăsit.
Said, many churches have left me.
Cum tu n-ai oameni aici?
I said, what do you mean, don't you have people here?
Tu așa să le spui.
He said, tell them this.
Oamenii se slăvesc pe oameni.
People glorify people.
Cinstea care se cuvine să-i dea lui Hristos.
The honor that Christ deserves.
Oamenii și-o iau asupra lor.
Men take upon themselves.
În biserică.
In the church.
Divorțul.
There's divorce.
Pracurvirii.
There's adultery.
Sodomie.
There's sodomy.
Avort.
There's abortion
tot felul de
and all kinds of sin.
Și Hristos nu locuiește în păcat.
And Christ will not live in sin.
Hristos locuiește în sfințenie.
Christ lives in holiness.
Și te-am adus aici să strigi în gura
mare. And I brought you here that you cry out loud.
Să se oprească de a păcătui.
Tell them to stop sinning.
Să se întoarcă către Dumnezeu.
And to repent.
Că Dumnezeu nu obosește.
Because God never stops forgiving.
Amen.
Amen.
Și toți aceia.
And all those
se vor opri de la păcatele lor.
Who will stop sinning?
Se vor întorna către Dumnezeu.
And who will repent?
În ziua nenorocirii voi salva.
God will save in the day of trouble.
Cum ai să-i salvezi dacă arzi America?
How can he save them if America burns, I
tot
said.
Să le spui.
He said, tell them this.
Cum am salvat pe Daniel din groapa leilor?
As I saved Daniel from the lions.
Îi voi salva și pe ei.
This is how I will save them.
Cum am salvat pe cei trei tineri din cuptorul cu foc?
As I saved the three youngins from the furnace.
Îi voi salva și pe ei.
This is how I will save them.
Și cuvântul lui Dumnezeu spune.
And the word of God says this.
1000 va cădea la
dreapta. 1000 will fall to your side.
10000 la dreapta.
And 10000 to your right.
Dar de tine nu se va.
Yet no man will touch you.
Fiindcă suntem păziți de puterea lui Dumnezeu.
Because we are protected by the power of God.
Îngerii lui Dumnezeu.
And the angels of God are around those that fear Him.
Dar trebuie să ai o viață curată.
But brother, your life must be clean.
Amen.
Amen.
Dacă tu ești îngerul lui Dumnezeu.
If you are truly the angel of God.
Și tot ce îmi spui tu nu e scris în Biblie.
Everything you say to me must be written in the Bible.
Eu pot să greșesc la americani.
If it is, then I can say this to the Americans.
Dar dacă nu scrii în Biblie, nu pot. Citit în Ieremia.
Have you read Jeremiah?
Da, am citit.
Yes, I have.
Ai citit în 51 Ieremia?
Did you read Jeremiah 51?
Zic, am citit.
Of course I have.
Ce înțelegi acolo?
What did you understand?
Păi vorbește despre Babilonul vechi.
It speaks about the old Babylon, I said.
Oh, să mai citești odată.
He said, read again.
Să mai citești odată.
Read again.
Că spune despre America.
Because it speaks about America, not Babylon of old.
Apocalipsa 18 ai citit?
Have you read Revelation 18?
Am citit, zic, tot cu privire la Babilon.
Said, yes, it's also about Babylon.
No, ia să mai citești odată.
He said, read it again.
Ca să-ți deschid mintea să înțelegi.
I will open your mind and you will understand.
Eu vă spun să citiți din Ieremia 51, versetul 7.
Brothers, let's read out of Jeremiah 51.
At the mouths of two or three witnesses shall the matter be established. Here's the testimony of Henry Gruver.
In that vision, I was standing and looking out over
the Isle of Anglesey in Carnarvon, northern Wales. Standing on the Eagle Tower on the Carnarvon Castle. This is the Carnarvon Castle is where Charles, Prince Charles, was coronated as Prince of Wales. That's a significant expression and reason I believe that God put me there. There's a lot that can be put into that. But that isn't my particular expertise. We'll leave that with those who feel they have other information on it. However, as I stood there looking out over the Isle of Anglesey from the Eagle Tower, it's the tallest tower of the Carnarvon Castle, all of a sudden, looking out across toward over the Irish Sea, the tip of the Irish Sea into the North Sea, I was caught up into the heavens and looking down on the earth like a globe. And as I looked down on the earth like a globe, I saw a massive military movement coming out of an area up by the Arctic. And I couldn't figure out what this was, what was going on, why a military, navy, and air force, why it would be going out between the United States and Europe up above Finland, going out through the Icelandic Gap and heading down between the United States and Europe and making a curl all the way around the Horn of Africa towards the Persian Gulf. Now that's significant. When all of a sudden I was alarmed because of that, you would have been too. I looked over toward the United States and I saw something I'd never seen in my life. I had never even preconceived the thought of it. I had always thought that the United States was wiser and more powerful than to allow Russian subs to be parked right almost on our beaches, per se. What I mean by that is you could see the submarines down under the water, but there were areas that the sand still had drifted on down from the beaches into the depths, and the submarines were sitting there aimed at America. I saw them sprinkled all the way across the East Coast. When I saw that, my family at that time lived in Portland, Oregon. I was alarmed, of course, and I wanted to look over toward Portland to see what was going on. And as I looked across the continent of the United States of this globe, I saw the submarines from way up by Washington, the top of Washington, all the way down around towards San Diego, poised in the same way all the way along our coast in the north from the Pacific sides. Then something else caught my attention. I began to see radio towers going up all across the nation. And these radio towers, as they went up, the dotted lines began going out as though they were transmitting. And then there was an alarm went off in me. They're sounding the alarm. We're going to be under attack. The siege is laid. When all of a sudden I was watching these radio dots going out like the transmitting of a warning, and instead of the people being warned, they sprinkled to the ground like dust. And an alarm went off in me, and I cried out in the heavens, and I said, "Oh God, they won't even know what hit them." And at that time, all of a sudden, I looked down on the eastern seaboard at the submarine, was drawn to that one right off from New York City, and I saw the missile come right out of that submarine and go right up and come right over the city of New York, and the entire city disappeared. Then I looked down, on down toward Florida. And down there, I could see another explosion take place. I looked across because of my family being in the Pacific Northwest. I looked across. Another explosion took place up by Seattle, Bellevue. And then another one down by San Francisco. And another one down toward Los Angeles. And another one toward San Diego. And there I stood in shock as I was watching these explosions take place and these cities literally disappearing from off the face of the earth. The next instant, I was standing back down on the Eagle Tower, and I found myself looking down in the village. There was no alarm going off. The cars were going the normal speed. People were walking. I looked out over the bay where there were some British ships, warships, and I watched them and studied them for a few seconds. There was no alarm there. And I found myself saying this, "Oh God, if this has not happened, what will be the sign of it and of its time?" And God spoke to my spirit, and these were the words He said. December the 14th, 1986, before Glasnost, Perestroika, the Berlin Wall was still up. The Cold War was still in full bore run. We supposedly were still on alert. The words were spoken to me, when Russia opens her gates and lets the masses go, the free world will occupy themselves with transporting, housing, and caring for the masses. We'll begin letting their weapons down, crying peace and safety. And that's when it will happen. Now, the question I submit to you is this. Where are we on that scenario? Where are we in that prophetic timetable? Is that vision being fulfilled before our eyes? Are we seeing it literally take place? The bear has become enormous, and the bear is in cahoots with the Arab countries, 12 to 14 of them, and there is high activity in and out of sight. In January this year, it looked like we were going to build up again and have another desert storm, didn't it? And I cried out to the Lord because I was getting ready to go to Europe. And the Lord said, tell the people that this is not the real thing. This is only a policing action. There will be policing actions, but watch, because that, it will happen, what you said. And I said, we will be drawn again to the Middle East in mass. We will be drawn through conflicts like Bosnia and like Taiwan and like North Korea. Conflicts are going to come up to draw us away from home base, to deplete our home defense mechanism. That's the strategy. Then revolution breaks loose inside of our nation. Why? To throw us into chaos and confusion. Because out of confusion and chaos, the communist system says they gain strength and power. And I've shown you that in quotes in the mentality of these people. They don't mind revolution. They don't mind it at all. This is some of the things that we're facing. We're facing very serious times.